would love to just be a blessing to you. Are you guys ready? Are you live? Look at your neighbor. Give him a high five. High five, high five. Patrick, you can come up. We're going to sing a song again. We've been in this series. It's called Christmas Playlist. Say Christmas Playlist. Have you been enjoying it? Those that I love Christmas music. My wife loves Christmas music. She loves it more than I do. I enjoy. There's so many amazing Christmas songs. I love Christmas worship songs, and so I just thought we would do this series on Christmas songs, and we call it Christmas Playlist. And so we talked about O Holy Night, and just the meaning of that, the significance of that. Last week it was O Come All Ye Faithful. Remember that? It was pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then today we're gonna do a song and dive into a famous song, and it's one that we love. We hear every Christmas season. It is O Come, Emmanuel. And just a little background on this song. It was written in the 8th century. In the 8th century. Come on. It's lasted through time. As time tested. The 8th century, during this time, they would either speak or sing out phrases that the Holy Spirit would put in their heart. They would speak these things out, or they would sing these things out, and they would always start all of their phrases or all of their songs or all the inspiration with the letter O. I don't know. And so it would be O Come, O something. And so this song was birthed during the 8th century from inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They begin to sing O Come, Emmanuel. And the words were written, and it began to bless the communities, bless the churches, and later they added music to it, they added some more words to it, and for hundreds and hundreds of years, this song has blessed the world and gone around the world multiple times, and I love it because it's so powerful and it tells the story. And so why don't we just listen to this song really quick and we'll jump into the message.
Oh, come, oh, come, and ransom captive Israel. That mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here, and drive away the shades of night, and pierce the clouds and bring us light. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much. Thank you, God, for this Christmas season. I thank you that we choose to rejoice. We choose to rejoice no matter what we feel, no matter what is going on around us. We choose to rejoice. We choose to love you. We choose to praise you because you're holy, you're faithful, and you're good. Lord, I just pray that you would minister to hearts today. I pray that you would speak to us where we're at in our families, God, in our personal lives, and whatever's going on this Christmas season. I pray, God, speak to individuals today. Bring your mercy today, God. Bring healing today. Bring joy today. I pray that people would experience joy like never before. Lord, that we would experience your goodness in the land of the living. Father, we thank you that you're here. We thank you for your love. We worship you, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And everybody in the house said, amen. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful song? I can't have Christmas without O Come Emmanuel. It's just a precious song and powerful. I love the words because it tells the story of the Christmas story. It tells the story of Christ being born in Bethlehem and the significance of that, the power of that. But there's this word that I want to focus on today and I want to draw out of that song. And it is the very name of the song itself, Emmanuel. Say Emmanuel. And that is an amazing word right there. Because the Bible tells us, it gives you the definition of it in the Bible, but if you don't know what it means God with us. Emmanuel, translated, God is with us. Somebody say, God is with us.
God is with us.
I mean, that's good. We could just close the Bible right there and say, hallelujah, amen, Merry Christmas. God is with us. That is just the best news. And I mean, how many have ever prayed a prayer like, Lord, be with me? You know, God, I'm going into this meeting. Please be with me. You know, I'm about to have a really heavy conversation with somebody and it's going to be uncomfortable. Lord, be with me. You know, you just kind of this Hail Mary, you know, Lord, be with me. And we pray these prayers or I'm going on this mission trip. Lord, be with me. We all these different things. Or, you know, maybe you're walking through the toy aisle with your 3-year-old son. I don't know who I'm talking about, you know. Lord, be with me, you know, please, in the name of Jesus, just be with me, God, you know, I want this, I want this, I want that, I want this, you know, Lord, give me patience, give me peace. No, we pray these prayers and we say these things for all these different things in our life, but I just want to encourage you today, no matter if you pray that or not, he's with you.
Amen.
Regardless of if you throw that up in the air or not, he's with you. And I want to prove that through Scripture, and I want to encourage you today that the Lord, your God, is with you. Amen. And I hope this will encourage you as we come into Christmas and as we come into 2020. I feel that 2020 is going to be an amazing year.
Yes.
It's going to be a year of just perfect vision. Amen. 2020 vision. Just seeing clearly in the Spirit, seeing what the Lord wants to do. And so I in order to have that, we have to know that the Lord is with us. And so I just pray that this would encourage you and bless you today. And so Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to read a few verses and we'll get to our point. But in Matthew chapter 1, 21, it says this. And she, who's she?
Mary.
Mary, come on, participation. And she will bring forth a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their what? Sins. So all this was done that it might be spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Isn't that just a good word right there?
Yeah, amen.
This is, it's so profound and prophetic and powerful, because this was the announcement. This was the announcement to Mary. This was the announcement to, really, to Israel, that the prophetic word was about to come to pass. What prophetic word? The prophetic word spoken by Isaiah in chapter 7. I'll refresh your memory real quick. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It says, Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Hallelujah. That's Isaiah. That's 740 years before Christ was born.
Amen.
And that's why I love the Bible. I love reading the Old Testament, because the Old Testament is constantly pointing to Jesus.
Yes.
And this should stir your faith when you read scriptures like that, that Lord, you have it under control. You truly are the Alpha and the Omega.
Amen.
You are the beginning and the end. You know what's going on. You plan this whole thing out. You know that Jesus needed to come into the world and die for our sins. And he is the Prince of Peace. This is just a good word. But the people in Israel, they heard this word from Isaiah. They heard the prophetic declaration. They heard the announcement. And there was an expectancy. There was an anticipation. There was an excitement in the people of Israel. But there was also a waiting. Like, they had to wait for this word to come for a few years. Yeah, just a couple. You know, somebody's like, man, I've been waiting on my prophetic word for 2 months. This is really killing me, you know. Try 740 years, So the nation, the people are waiting on this word to come to pass. Waiting for the Messiah for 740 years. And then it comes, the announcement comes. And this is just, it's the best news, because why? Because for so long, they loved people, they loved God, they loved the Lord, their God, but God was kind of out here, and they were here. He was watching, he was their protector, he was their shepherd, but he was always kind of out here, and for the first time, now God wasn't out here, God was with us. God was among us, he was with us, he was Emmanuel, and so they were excited for this prophecy from Isaiah to come to pass, and all of a sudden, here it is, it's coming to pass right before their eyes. This is just a beautiful thing. And he wasn't afar. He was right where they are. And this is what caused the shepherds to run back into the fields and to rejoice and to praise the name of the Lord. This is what caused wise men to travel hundreds of miles to come to Jesus bearing gifts and to lay them down at the feet of a baby and to worship him, to fall on their face and worship him. Because now it was not just this thing that we talk about. It wasn't just a prophecy anymore. It was literally God is with us. God is right before my eyes, and I have to worship him.
Yes.
This is good.
Yes.
Emmanuel, God with us. Say, God is with me.
God is with me.
And this is the revelation that I believe will transform the church when we truly understand that he's with us. But I think for whatever reason, and you know, I could testify to this in my own life, but I think a lot of us throughout our own personal stories, I think there's times in our life where we just don't believe that. We just don't believe that he's with us for different reasons. I think sometimes we don't believe he's with us. Maybe it's the person, they haven't accepted Christ into their heart. And so it's like this, it's like, that's crazy. How could God be with me? You know, it seems weird when you haven't had, when you don't have a personal relationship with Christ.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, as you enter into a personal relationship, it's like, of course he's with me. You know, you understand this, the revelation comes. But so I think there's those that have no understanding, they have no grid because they don't have a personal relationship with Christ. There's those. Then there's the second group of people, I think, that don't really believe this. And it's those that live on a feeling. And they love the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Suri. I'm going to co-preach with Suri today. I think there's people that live on a feeling, and what we do, we say things like, "Oh, I'm not feeling God right now, so He must not be with me. I don't have the goosebumps right now, so He must not be with me. I don't feel this way. I don't feel excited like I was in that one worship service, so He must not be kissing, you know, my life right now. He must not be approving of my life." But that's false, because we cannot base our life on feelings.
Yes.
Because feelings are calm. Feelings are like a roller coaster. I love a good roller coaster. But feelings are going to be like, yes, this is the best day ever. Oh, this is the worst day ever. This is the best day. This is the worst day. You know, and loop-de-loos and corkscrews. And it's like, we cannot base our faith and our relationship with the Lord God Almighty on our feelings.
Yeah.
I got goosebumps. He must be with me. I don't have goosebumps. He's not with me. You know? No, like, that's not faith. Faith is, He's with me. I come boldly before the throne of grace because I know He's with me. I know He loves me. Amen. But for whatever reason, I think in our culture, in our time, and in the church, a lot of people, and there's nothing wrong with feelings. Feelings are good. God gave us those feelings. But I don't think they should contradict or dictate our relationship with the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
So that's the second group. And the third group, I think, maybe they don't believe that the Lord is with them because maybe it's just a really hard season. Maybe they love the Lord. Maybe they read the Word of God. But maybe it's just been a hard season. And maybe there's trauma. You know, maybe a loved one has passed away, or maybe a loved one has walked away. And so you come to the Thanksgiving table, or you come to the Christmas table, and now there's an empty chair where there used to be a warm body. Whether it be because of a death, or that be because of a fight, of a divorce, of a person just leaving. But it leaves a void in your heart. It leaves a void at the Christmas table, and it leaves anger and questions. And you say, well, if God was really good, then why is this happening? Or if God is really good, then why did I get this diagnosis? And if He's truly with me, then why did I just go to the doctor and He's putting all these things on me? You know, there's two people in our church body that are fighting cancer right now. And we need to rally behind them. And we need to lift their arms. And I'm contending and I'm believing for a total miracle in their bodies. And so just pray that it's on the prayer chains, and it's nothing secretive. It's Lana and it's Ken Thomas and Lana Strickland. And we need to pray for them, and we need to believe for a total and absolute miracle in their bodies. Amen. But we can get these things, and we can get these reports. We can get these bad diagnoses and just say, well, if He's truly good and if He's truly with me, then why is this happening? And I just feel lost. I feel empty. I feel discouraged. And you know, these are real feelings that come to us during the Christmas season, right?
Yeah.
But I want to give you three things just to kind of meditate on, to ponder, to grab a hold of as we enter into Christmas and then as we enter into this 2020. I believe there's three things that kind of come out of this word, Emmanuel. And I think it'll encourage you. I believe it'll bless you as we come into Christmas. And the first truth is this, and it is the very name of Emmanuel itself, that God is with me. Say, God is with me.
God is with me.
In Luke chapter 1, verses 28, it says, "And having come in, the angel said to her, Mary, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Ha! Rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Oh, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. You are blessed among women. I think this is pretty powerful, and this is the first truth that the angel of the Lord wanted Mary to hear. The truth was this, that God is with you.
Mm-hmm.
The very first thing that he really wants her to understand and get the revelation of and let come alive in her heart is this: God is with you. And I think she needed to hear that, and I think she needed to hear that from an angel, because she was about to be asked to do some crazy stuff. She was about to be asked to walk a difficult road. And to go through shame and embarrassment and ridicule and almost being killed. You know, if Joseph wouldn't have been sensitive to the Lord and heard the Lord in the dream, you know, he could have had her killed. And so there was a difficult road ahead. And so he says this: the Lord is with you. And the Lord wanted this revelation to be the first thing that came out of the mouth of the angel. And that is just like the Lord. What does God say that the Holy Spirit is and that Jesus is? He's our comforter. And he wants to bring comfort when you're in that situation and you're in that season where you're like, I don't know. I have questions. I don't know what this next season is going to be like. He wants to come alongside of you, and he wants to be the comforter. And he wants to allow you to have peace and just to say the very thing that he said to Mary: God is with you. You're going to get through this. You know, I love what it says in, or if you break down if you heard the word parakletos, it's the comforter, word for comforter in the Holy Spirit. The parakletos, para means alongside, say alongside.
Alongside.
And kleto means to be called to. So alongside and called to, parakletos. And that means that the Holy Spirit is called to come alongside of us and to comfort us and to bring us hope and joy. He's called to come alongside of you in your whatever situation you're facing, whatever you're dealing with. He is called to bring the comfort. He is called to come alongside. That's who he is. That's his very nature. It's like a mom. You know, I love watching Heather with the kids, and you know, sometimes they'll fall and they'll get an ouchie or something, or they're sick. And you know, and sometimes I come and I hug them and different things, but there's nothing like a hug of a mom, and there's nothing like the care of a mom. And you know, a few times I've just been watching Heather and nurture the children and love the children and just minister to their hearts the way, you know, that a dad maybe doesn't know how to do sometimes. And I just, the Lord just began to speak to me, and he just said, that's how I'm ministering to you. And that's how I'm taking care of your heart. The very way that a mother takes care of her children's hearts and sees when they're hurt and sees when they have questions and sees when there's just things in their way that they need to remove, the same way the Holy Spirit is for us. He wants to shepherd you. He wants to comfort you. Even when you don't realize that you need comforting, he's there. Somebody say,
yes, he is.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Pass the biscuits. Amen. This is the first truth. God is with me. You got to know that. You got to know that. Number two, so God was with us. No, sorry. God is with us. Number two, God was with us. Mm-hmm. Say, God was with us. You know, I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes it's easier when maybe I'm going through a trial or a difficult season. Sometimes if I look in the rearview mirror just a little bit, and I could begin to remember the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, as I begin to look back on my life and the testimonies of the Lord in my life. And sometimes when you're in that season, it's so hard to see the hand of the Lord in your life. But when you come out of that season, you say, oh gosh, there's the Lord. Like he was totally orchestrating that whole thing. He was totally in the middle of it.
Amen.
And a perfect example of this from the scriptures would be the life of Joseph from Genesis. Not Mary and Joseph, but the life of Joseph from the book of Genesis. I love Joseph's life. I just love everything about his story. You could preach on that for days. But here's this young man who has a dream. He has a dream, and God speaks to him, and he just believes that he's going to be a leader. He believes that he was created and he was made for something bigger. He was made for something more. You know, he's got a word from the Lord. Really, he's got a prophetic word from the Lord, and he's going places. Say, going places. He believes this about himself, and then his brothers, his older brothers, they don't really like him. You know, they think he's maybe cocky. They think he's arrogant. They want to get rid of this young man, and they They throw them into a pit. They sell them into slavery. And so it just goes from bad to worse to even worse, you know, and from sold into slavery to going into prison. And it was just a bad situation. And for anybody, if there was anybody in the scriptures that could look at their own life and just say, this sucks, it was Joseph. If there was anybody in the scriptures that could just throw their hands up in the air and say, if you were with me, why is this happening? I thought you were with me. I thought I had a dream. I thought I had a word. I thought I had favor from my father. He gave me this really cool, you know, Patagonia coat, you know. And so, what's going on, Lord? You know, if there was anybody, it would be Joseph. But he never said that. He never said, oh, God's not with me. As I read the story of Joseph, you know, I can see the hand of the Lord truly in his life. Right? Can you? Mm-hmm. You can see it, but sometimes you have to take a step back to really see the full picture. You know, and Joseph could have been like, where are you while he was in prison? Where are you while he's being lied about? Where are you while his brothers hate him and throw him into a pit? Where are you? And you want to know where the Lord was? I'll tell you exactly where the Lord was in all of the trials, in all of the hard situations, in all of the difficulty, in all of the pain, in all of the anguish, in all of the heartache. You want to know where the Lord was? I'll show you exactly where he was. Genesis 39. This is great. Genesis 39, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So even when Joseph didn't feel like necessarily the Lord was with him, God was with him. But then you look back, you come to the end of your life, and you look back and you say, oh man, God was so with me. He could look back at his brothers. He could look into his brother's eyes, and his brothers are just sorry for all the chaos that they've made and all the destruction that they've brought to his life. And he said, you know what the enemy meant for destruction, God turned it around and used for good. That's that passage. That's Joseph's life. And so it started with chaos. It started with hell on earth. But the Lord turned it around, and the Lord used it for good. The Lord was working behind the scenes. Amen. And the Lord, I love that, Genesis 39:21. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him, and the Lord is with you. Look at your neighbor and say, the Lord is with you. Come on, think back. Think back over your life. Think back over your story. And where were those moments like where you have 20/20 vision when you're looking backwards? And you could say, oh, I was stressed out, but now that I look back, you were so with me. You really came through. There's so many seasons in my life. I could take you to multiple seasons of my life where the Lord really was just faithful, you know, saving my life as a teenager, multiple times, saving my life as a young boy. I almost died a couple times when I was a young boy, and I almost drowned, and then I flew out of a car one time and landed on a highway, and almost, you know, and then there was the whole drug and alcohol season, but the Lord had his hand upon my life. And look, you know, when you're in the midst of that, you're just like, man, this sucks. Like, why does these things keep happening? But I look back now and I could see God bringing the right people into my life. I could see God bringing men and women that were going to pray and declare life over me. I could see the Lord orchestrating something and doing something beautiful that I could never comprehend in that particular time and season. God has the best plan for your life. You know, financial, I could look back at financial miracles and just that have just rocked me, you know. And one time I was trying to go on a mission trip and I needed a certain amount of money. And it was a big amount of money that I needed to raise to get on this mission trip. And I didn't want to make it known. I didn't want to put it in newsletters and I need this amount. I just didn't want to do it. I'm like, Lord, if I'm supposed to go, just, you know, it was really the desire of my heart. And somebody called me that had been praying, another friend, a brother, And he just, the Lord put it on his heart. This was before social media. This was before any of that. I mean, we had email, but that was it, you know. And so I get a phone call from a friend, and he just said, the Lord spoke to me this morning in prayer, and I feel like I'm supposed to give you this amount of money. And it was to the penny of what I needed to go on that trip. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You know, like, God knows what you need. But in that moment, I remember being so stressed and, oh, are you going to come through? And Lord, what are you going to do? But it's like, you're looking back, oh man, you totally had it taken care of. Like, look back over your own life. What are the miracles? What are the testimonies? What are those things that can stir faith in your life? We need to remember the testimonies. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Remember the miracles. Remember the healings. Remember when God came through in a supernatural way. Remember those moments, because that is, it kind of stirs the coals in your heart. And it reminds me that God is alive. Yes. He's alive. He's moving. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's not purring like a kitten. He's roaring like a lion.
Yes, amen.
And he's on the move. He's on the move in my life. He's on the move in California. He's on the move in America. He's on the move in this church.
Yes.
But you gotta remember. That's a good word.
Yes, it is.
And number three, so he's with me, he was with me, and he will be with me. He will be with you. That's a really important revelation to get a hold of in your heart, that, because I think there's so many unknowns in our life. And what is this next year going to look like? What is my job going to look like? What is my health going to, you know, all these things, these unknowns. And I just want to encourage you that you don't have to walk through this life alone.
Yes.
You don't have to walk with a bunch of question marks in your heart and in your head. You can walk with your head held high with confidence, knowing that the Creator of the universe is with you. Amen.
Yes.
That 2020 is going to be an amazing year. And I want to look at that scripture one more time, because in Luke 1:28, it says this, and I love it. I can't get away from it, but the angel says to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you." The Lord is with you. Those are powerful words to hear, as we just spoke about a moment ago. But think about if Mary could prophetically see, if she could see into her future, if she could see in her spirit and her heart what was to come and what was in front of her for the next 33 years. If she could look up ahead, I think she would have so much confidence that she got this word from the angel of the Lord that God is going to be with me. And think about her life. If she could just, in that moment where the angel's speaking to her and he's saying, God's going to be with you. And in a flash, I mean, this doesn't say this, but just think about it as a mom. You know, I love that moment in the Passion of the Christ where it's one of the most powerful moments to me, where Mary is watching her son drag the cross, and she's just weeping, and she's on the ground, and she's just weeping for her son that she raised. And all of a sudden, in an instant, she remembers him as that little boy, and she remembers him with dad and making something, and she just keeps having these flashbacks of him as a child, and it was just, it's so gripping, because yes, he's the Son of God, but she's still his mom.
Yeah. Right.
And she's watching him go through all of this agony and suffering and pain as a mother. And so just think about when the angel says, God is with you. What if she could see in that moment what her whole life was going to look like? And then the next 33 years, what if she said, yeah, God is with me. As I carry this child, God is with me. As I have to go tell Joseph that I'm pregnant, hello, God is with me. As I have to travel 100 miles on the back of a donkey, God was with me. As I have to give birth in the stable next to farm animals, God is with me. Think about this woman's life. This is incredible. God was with me when I had to flee for my life and flee for my child's life to protect him. God was with me. God was with me when we lost him at the age of 12. God was with me. Come on. God was with me at the wedding feast where I watched the son that I raised turn water into wine. God was with me. And God was with me when my son was falsely accused and when he was persecuted. God was with me when I watched him be nailed to a cross. God was with me when I had questions. God was with me when everything went dark and when everything went black and when everything went quiet. For 3 days, God was with me. And God was with me when on the third day, when the stone was rolled away and my son was resurrected from the dead. God was with me. Come on, think about this. God is with her and God is with you and God is with me. He knows the story. He knows what you need. He knows what you need to hear. And so this is why he says, I will be with you. I was with you. I am with you, and I will be with you.
Yes, amen.
Romans chapter 8. We're almost done. And Patrick, can you come up? I just feel we need to end with a song of worship to our King, our Lord, our Savior. But Romans chapter 8. Verses 35. It says, what shall separate us from the love of Jesus? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 37, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That should give you hope. That no matter what's coming at you, because stuff's going to come at you. Maybe stuff is coming at your family. Stuff's coming at your marriage. And stuff is coming at your health and your finances. Stuff is coming at your relationship with the Lord. Stuff is coming at you from all these angles. But Paul says, no matter what comes at you, no matter what angle, no matter what is happening, it does not matter because nothing will separate you. Nothing can pull you away from the love of Jesus. Nothing can pull you away from that revelation that he is Emmanuel, that he is God with us. So whatever you face, he is going to be with you. And Revelation 1:8. We're almost done. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. Who is, who was, and who is to come, says the Lord Almighty. I want you to listen to that again. This is Jesus speaking. He's speaking this to John, but he's speaking this to us. So I feel like there's people in this room and you're just battling some anxiety right now. You're battling some fear. The unknown. What is it going to look like? What are the choices? I feel like there's a person in this room right now. There's an individual in this room, and you're faced literally right now in your life. There's three choices in your life. There's three different roads that you can walk on. You could say, I could go on this one. I could go on this one. I could go on this one. And you are literally, it is making you anxious. It is making you afraid. It is making you paralyzed in fear because you do not know which road to go on. And I just want to encourage you today that God is with you. He's the Alpha, He's the Omega, He's the beginning, He's the end. And that person, I just want to speak to your heart. Go with peace. Go with peace. Let peace be the umpire of your life. Let peace guide you. The children of God are led by the peace of God. And I command all fear and anxiety to leave your heart now in the name of Jesus. All stress that has been coming for different individuals over the holiday season. I don't have enough money for this. I can't get my kids this. I can't do this trip I wanted to do. God, remind us what it is all about. Remind us of the bigger picture, Father. Lord, we love you and we just set our gaze upon you. Emmanuel, God with us. Father, I thank you right now for Church on the Mountain. I thank you, Lord, we can look back to 1972 and we can say, Jesus, you truly were with us. We can look back at 1982 and 1992 and we can say, Jesus, you were with this house. In 2002, Father, thank you for the impartation of grace and missions that went forth from this house. God, thank you for nations that were touched from this very house. God, we can look back on our destiny. We can look back on our legacy and we can see the hand of the Lord. But Father, I thank you that we're coming into a year and we're coming into a season where you're giving us 2020 vision. And God, I thank you that you weren't just with us, but you are with us today. And you're with us in our tomorrow. And so I just pray right now where everybody's at in their journey, in their personal relationship, God, give us faith. Give us an understanding. Give us the confidence to move forward in you, to know that you're with us, to believe that you're with us. Yeah, I just feel like the Lord is just wanting to encourage people. The future is bright. Your future is bright. Your personal future is bright. There's an old song. How's it go? My future's so bright, I gotta wear shades. Come on, somebody. The destiny and the future of Church of the Mountain is so bright, we gotta wear shades. There's great things right around the corner. Why? Because He is with us. He is with us. He is with us. Let that sink into your heart. Let that settle into your heart. He is with us. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is your comforter. He is your joy. He is your salvation. He is your hope. He is your everything. He is with you. He's with you in the marketplace. He's with you as you drive back home today. He's with you. Father, let that sink into our spirits over this Christmas season. You'll never leave us. And I just feel compelled, you know, just as we talk about that, I hope you understand that He is truly with you. And but as you say that, you're like, yeah, He's with me. But the thing the Lord, I think, is kind of speaking to me is, yes, we know He's with us. We understand He's with us. But are you with Him? Are you with Him? I made a decision at 19. I just want to go wherever you are, God. I want to be wherever you are. I don't care wherever that is. I just want to be where you are, Jesus. And so if there's any person in this room, and I just want you to close your eyes with me, and we're just going to pray, and then we're going to go into a worship song. But I just want to pray because I don't want to pass this opportunity. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Maybe you need to give your life to the Lord for the very first time. Maybe you just need to repent of some things and just say, God, I just want to fully surrender. I just want to fully give my life and my heart to you. And there's no better day than today. The Bible says that tomorrow is not even promised. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. So just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I repent for my sins. I repent for everything that I have done. And right now, I confess that you are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are my King. Lord, here I am. Save me. Lord, here I am. I give you my life. I want to be used by you. God, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my dreams. I give you my destiny. I give you my all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, that is the best decision you can make this Christmas. Whether that is rededicating your life, whether that is rekindling the fire in your heart, or saying yes to Him for the very first time, that is the best decision that you will make in your entire life. And so we're just going to go into a worship song because we just want to adore the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you have to go, you're released to go. But we just want to worship Him for a minute. And Father, thank you for this word. I pray you bless it and seal it on every single heart. And we thank you, Lord, for Christmas in these families that are represented here. I pray you bless their homes, God. Bless their tables. Bless their hearts, God. Bless relationships. Bless, you know, all the conversations that are going to be had around the dinner tables, God. And Lord, let reconciliation take place this Christmas. Let healing take place this Christmas. Let friendships be reconciled this Christmas. Thank you, Lord. We love you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We're so grateful that you came. We celebrate our King. We celebrate our Savior. Amen.
Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. You were worthy of all praise, worthy of our all, Jesus. God, we do. We remember you this Christmas season, God. But it's about you, God. It's not about gifts and our blessings, God, but you are our biggest blessing, God. You in our lives, God. Emmanuel, God with us. We remember your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Have a great Christmas, everyone. We'll see you next week.